Hour number two of Riddle and the Reporter, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio. You can also watch the streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use the promo code THEGAME today. Welcome back into the show. And as if you have been listening for the last couple weeks, we have been going through at the beginning of the 10 o'clock hour and breaking down a different division throughout the NFL. And today we wanted to wrap up with both the AFC and the NFC South. And of course, we're going to save the AFC South for last. So that's coming up next. We have Ben Arthur joining us at 10:15 to help us break down that division, of course, right here in Nashville. But as well, we are going to kick it off today with the NFC South, which I find as one of the most interesting divisions, and also the division which has your favorite team. So would
yes,
you like to kick it off with the New Orleans Saints?
Oh, I love that. Okay, let's do the next 10 minutes here. We're going to do rapid fire talking about these teams before Ben Arthur comes on. But look, New Orleans Saints, they're hyped up. I have to be honest. They cannot be someone that wins this division. It just does not seem that clear-cut to me, at least, as a fan of this team and has been a fan since, you know, the last 15 years. For me, when I look at the Saints, I am glad that they found an answer at quarterback. I am very glad that they got Derek Carr. And Derek has been, in times, tested to be a clutch, consistent quarterback. I feel like he has expanded on the opportunity, and I feel like now on a new team with a younger core of guys that can explode offensively, I feel like he could do something special with this team. Now, Alvin Kamara is out with the suspension currently, but I'm very pleased with the running back room with Jamal Williams, Keandre Miller. I think they are very good backs. Darrell Williams has been pretty good in the preseason as well. I've liked watching him. But also, too, Chris Olave, Michael Thomas, who at times just feels like a walking piece of glass. I feel like he could maybe turn it up this year if he gets some good chemistry going. One other thing for me that I do like Trevor Penning for me personally.
He looks really good this preseason.
Yes, I have really liked him. And I know that one guy that is consistent for me that I have loved watching too, Cesar Ruiz, is one of my favorite players on the team. I feel like he at times at that guard spot has looked really good. That helps their run game. But on defense, super fast. Look, they got Tyrann Mathieu. Obviously, that's just a household name. I feel like he has been consistent in his NFL career.
Not an elite level player anymore.
But not an elite level player anymore. You're absolutely right. They still have Cameron Jordan, which, by the way, did get a raise this offseason.
He's still playing at a high level.
And
though.
He certainly is. And I think they are consistent enough to surprise you on defense. You know, last year, you know, Jameis Winston unfortunately goes down with an injury, which I felt like derailed their season for the most part. When that happened, they were not able to do what they were capable of. And another guy on defense I like watching, too, is Marshon Lattimore. But then again, these guys have to be a cohesive group and be good and read plays, read these audibles, make sure that you are catching what these guys are doing, because Atlanta is another team down the road for them. They always have a good rivalry with them. They also have a good rivalry with the Bucks too. And for me, when I'm watching the Saints squad, they are impressive, but can Derek Carr and can some of their weapons execute?
To me, it's good. I think you broke down the roster very well. I have nothing else to add. I think the Saints have a good O-line. I think they have good weapons. And their defense finished in the top 10 last year. I mean, they got a sound squad. Like you said, it's going to come down to Derek Carr.
Yep.
And can he win in those big moments? Can he have a bounce-back year after having a tough 2022 season? But another team that I really like in this division that I think is coming into the season very underrated is the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
I was very high on them, and then I watched them play in the preseason game the other night against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, their backups are awful. Mm. So their starters look really, really good. I mean,
sure.
They went out in free agency and got Calais Campbell to go along with Grady Jarrett there on the defense. defensive line. Mm-hmm. A familiar name here, Bud Dupree.
Yep.
If he can stay healthy, he's going to be really good as an edge rusher. And their secondary, they already had a top corner, a guy that doesn't get talked about a lot in A.J. Terrell. I think he is one of the better corners in the game. They pay money to Jesse Bates, one of the better free safeties in the game, and they go out and trade for the Lions' former third overall pick from a couple years ago, Jeff Okuda. So
yes.
They have done a lot of work on this defense, which was their weakness. And then you talk about going and get Bijan Robinson, who I think is going to be a top five fantasy pick this year, just
gosh,
how talented
yes.
he is. Drake London, a top 10 wide receiver taken out of USC a couple of years ago. Kyle Pitts, a top five tight end from a few years ago. They got some weapons, but the quarterback, Desmond Ridder, who I like. I like him. He's from my hometown. I'm rooting for the kid. But he hasn't shown me enough to put full confidence that he can really lead this team. And I think that could potentially be what holds them back from winning this division.
The only thing I have to add to the Falcons here is Desmond Ridder was given the job with confidence, may I add, with confidence from Arthur Smith. And we saw that in the quarterback series because Marcus was not able to uphold the level of play that was expected of him for the entire season. Yes, he got frustrated. It showed a lot about his character, I feel like, as a quarterback and as a professional. And so now, Desmond steps in with the spotlight. He has Taylor Heinicke behind him, who could step up if he needs to, and he's not going to be the greatest quarterback by any means. Familiar face in Logan Woodside's there, too, who probably knows the offense like the back of his hand. And Desmond Ridder, I feel like, has this prime opportunity to be something special for the Falcons, and they've been searching for it ever since Matt Ryan left. So
another interesting team in this division has to be the Carolina Panthers, traded up to get Bryce Young, sent DJ Moore, their number one wide receiver, to the Chicago Bears in that trade. That's got to hurt. But I like what this team did. You know, they go out and get Miles Sanders in free agency, Adam Thielen, DJ Shark from the Lions, and then they draft Jonathan Mingo, who I think is a very underrated wide receiver coming out of the draft from Ole Miss. Hayden Hurst is a tight end. He's never been an elite level tight end, but he's always been solid.
He's a big dude.
He's big and he's fast too. He's good in the open field. So if Bryce Young, kind of like how we saw last night, can create some space and create some time to let his receivers get open, he's got some weapons to kind of go around here. Now, is the offensive line improved enough to get there? That's the big question because overall, you know, this team is pretty good. J.C. Horn, really big fan of him. They go out and get the other safety that left Cincinnati last year, Von Bell. He's a big-time hitter. Brian Burns, one of the better young edge rushers in this game. So they got talent up and down the roster. They've been rebuilding for years. And it really kind of comes down to, is Bryce Young going to have one of those breakout rookie seasons like we've seen in years past? Or is he going to struggle a little bit and maybe next year or the year after will be the Carolina Panthers' year to kind of jump out of the slump they've been in for a while since Cam Newton?
So instead of breaking down this team for me, I'm going to ask you a question because look at the run that the Eagles went on last year. I know that they have a deep running back room. I said last week, I believe, that the Eagles are going to have arguably the best running back room. Now, why do you think Miles Sanders decided to sign with this team? Why do you think, or maybe let me phrase it this way. Why do you think he signed there? What do you think their pitch was to him signing there?
Well, I think he saw what Christian McCaffrey did there in years past, and obviously they wanted to go a cheaper route, and they traded him in the middle of the season last year. And I just think when you're talking about a guy like Miles Sanders, he's very talented, and he wants to go to a place where he can be the feature back. And when you're looking at the guys behind him, Chuba Hubbard,
who can play pretty well, I felt like
Blackshear, you know, Spencer Brown, like these guys are nowhere near Miles Sanders' level.
No.
And I think Miles Sanders deserves to be an RB1. I think he proved that. You know, Philadelphia just didn't want to pay him a whole lot of money, and they went the cheaper route and going and getting a DeAndre Swift on a rookie deal and trading for him. So I think, you know, Miles Sanders has a lot to improve. I think having him as a receiving threat and a running threat with a rookie Bryce Young is a good addition to this team, and it just makes them a little bit more versatile than they were last year because they didn't have that.
Yeah, and you know who Miles Sanders kind of reminds me of? Not exactly, but a little bit reminds me of is Darren Sproles a little bit.
Darren Sproles was a lot smaller.
He was a lot smaller.
I'm talking 5'6".
Yeah,
small.
He was a lot smaller for sure. But I'm thinking just in terms of the opportunity that he's getting, because Darren Sproles could have been a good running back one, but not based on his size, not based on what he could carry.
He did for a few years because he was with the Chargers with LaDainian Tomlinson.
Right.
And then he had some stints with the Saints and Eagles
where
he was a bit more featured in those offenses.
But he was a good special teams player. That's what separated him at times, I felt like. But for Miles, the reason I'm saying that is because the opportunity to warrant this opportunity for him to showcase what he's going to be able to do in the NFL if he is relied on with a team. And look, they're going to go to him a lot this year. They really will, because at times when they don't feel as confident in a matchup for Bryce, Miles is going to get a lot of handoffs.
So let's wrap up here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Let's do it.
Obviously, moving off Tom Brady in the offseason, he decided to retire. Baker Mayfield was just announced to be the starter this week.
Yep.
And I think this team is interesting because I'm not a big Baker guy. I don't think he's very good. But, you know, the team around him is still a solid team. I mean, they still got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. The offensive line isn't good, but it's not horrible. And, you know, they went out and drafted Kalijah Kancey in the first round from Pittsburgh. Very athletic defensive lineman to go along with Vita Vea, you know, Devin White, Levante David, Shaquille Barrett and company. That front seven still could be pretty good. So, for me, I think the Buccaneers are most likely going to finish last in this division, but say if Baker Mayfield has a bounce-back year, I mean, you could see this team making a little bit of noise.
You could. You certainly could, and that's why, you know, when I'm thinking of the Saints and I'm thinking of someone that can challenge them, Buccaneers could steal some games this year. They absolutely could, and I feel like their defense is going to have to help out with that a lot. If they could force really good turnovers, if they can, you know, score some defensive touchdowns too, it's going to be huge for Baker as he gets used to this new team. And Baker's been around, and I feel like for him to just make it count, I feel like he's going to have to rely on some of these guys. Look, they even have Chase Edmonds at running back too. And so I feel like they're trying to get some of these guys. It kind of feels like the island of misfit toys a little bit. So I'm interested to see what they're able to do this season, Junie.
It will be. I think, hands down, the NFC South is the worst division in all of football. But again, when it is the worst team, I mean, that typically brings up a lot of controversy. I can see any of these teams, maybe outside of Tampa, winning it. But it's going to be really interesting to see which one of these breaks out, because a lot of young talent in this division. And the most tenured quarterback in the entire division is Desmond Ridder. And he only played in 4 games last year. So every other team had to go out and get a new quarterback. So it's going to be really interesting to see which team gels the quickest, because I feel like whoever gets the most chemistry early on in the year will be the team to win this division. But coming up next, we are down to our final divisional preview, and we are going to bring over Fox reporter for the AFC South, Ben Arthur, coming up next. Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser, you're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter. Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser here on this Saturday morning. And it is now time for the moment that everybody has been waiting for. We are finishing up our divisional previews. And we're finishing, of course, with the AFC South. To help us out with that, we got Ben Arthur on the line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Fox reporter for the division. Ben, good morning. Thank you for joining us. And how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, doing great.
Solid, doing well. Thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, no problem.
Absolutely. So, number one, I want to hear your opinions on Malik Willis and his performance last night. And then after that, if you could kind of get into the Jacksonville Jaguars and how far the Titans should be considered away from competing with them in this division.
Yeah, I think yesterday's game was a good example of how far Malik has come. We saw the kind of the bad moments, right? We saw some of the misfires. We saw the interceptions, more so the one to Mason Kinsey. And that was a bad throw, right? But I think his ability to respond to them, like after both of those interceptions he had, he was able to lead, you know, two long touchdown drives. I think as the game wore on, I think he started the game 1 of 5 or something like that. And then he had a string of, like, I think it was 9 or 10 straight completions, really seemed to settle down, able to get through his progressions. And we saw several moments where, you know, I think maybe last year he would have, you know, just bailed on the pocket and just tried to run. But we saw him being more patient. I think of that touchdown to Julius Chestnut in particular, like he dropped back. He kind of then stepped up, still keeping his eyes downfield, and then, you know, moved over to his left, rolled to his left and hit, you know, Chestnut, who was kind of breaking to the outside, just, you know, to the pylon. And so I think yesterday's game was like a example of, I think, what the Malik Willis experience has been, right? A lot of ups and downs, but I think more so than anything, we saw how much progress he's made from last year to where he's at now. Like, the game he had yesterday was by far the best game that he's had as a Titan, you know, regular season or preseason. So I think from that perspective, that was really encouraging to see. And with Will Levis obviously not having much of a sample size, I think it's clear that Malik is the second QB. And then just in terms of the gap with Jacksonville, I think the Titans are closer to the Jags than maybe national folks think. I think the Jags are the clear top team in the division, but I think with good health and, you know, a stronger passing game, you know, better pass protection, you know, this is a team that could be right there. And so I think you look at the defense is still strong. You get Harold Landry back. Some of those young corners have another year under their belt. I like Sean Murphy Bunting. We know what Derek is going to give you in the run game. Tajay Spears is a nice complement to him. And then having once, you know, Burks and Phillips get healthy, plus DeAndre Hopkins and Chiga Conquo. I mean, I think you have a team that can compete, that can contend for a playoff spot and maybe give Jacksonville some issues at the top of the division.
I completely agree with you. And we're talking to Fox Sports AFC South reporter Ben Arthur. I completely agree with you about the gap between the Titans and Jags. I don't think it's as far apart as what people think. But what I do kind of feel is far apart is where the Colts and Texans are in comparison to the mm-hmm. Titans and Jags. Do you see something from either of these two teams that can kind of be contrary to that belief, that maybe one of these teams are better than what we think right now?
Honestly, not really. I mean, those two teams are very clearly in rebuild mode. Of course, you have the young rookie quarterbacks. And I just don't see those teams having enough talent around those rookie quarterbacks to really even push Jacksonville or even Tennessee. Like, you look with C.J. Stroud in Houston, I just don't think he has the pass catchers around him to really move the needle. I mean, they have, I think their run game is going to be good. They have a good O-line. And their defense was, like, historically bad against the run last season. And although I think they've made improvements, I think expecting anything more than an average defense from them, you know, I don't think what we're going to see kind of much threat from them in that regard. And then with Indy too, I mean, if you guys saw that game, what was it, Thursday against Philly, like, just kind of what Anthony Richardson has to work with around him, right? Like, and we already know it's going to kind of be an up and down journey for him, but it's looking like Jonathan Taylor is never going to play a snap again for them, and not having that dependable back. And I just don't think the receiver room really moves the needle besides Michael Pittman Jr. Alex Pierce, in my opinion, has kind of been disappointing as kind of the number two guy just throughout the summer. And then the defense, their secondary is so incredibly young. They have three rookie corners their D-line is still really good. They have DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart. But just in totality with Indy, and then again, to my point about Houston, I just don't really see a scenario where they truly compete with Jacksonville or Tennessee. I mean, I think either of those teams could maybe get 6 wins. But I think, you know, beyond that, I think that would be pushing it. So I think there's really a clear hierarchy between, you know, Jacksonville at the top, Tennessee at number 2, and then, you know, further down is kind of Houston and Indy.
AFC South reporter Ben Arthur is with us here on Riddle and the Reporter this morning. So, Ben, I thought Caleb Murphy looked outstanding last night. Do you think he makes this team?
I do, and the Titans have incredible depth at the edge spot, right? Like, you have Landry coming back. Rashad Weaver should be even better in year 3. He had 5.5 sacks last year. Getting Arden Key was a big move. We know DeNico Autry can play on the edge too. But I think you can never have enough pass rushers. And what Caleb Murphy has been able to show us in those 3 games, you know, 4 sacks, you know, was able to, you know, pressure more generally a lot, really showing that, you know, even though he's playing at, you know, a D2 and, you know, kind of lesser competition, so to speak, and him being a smaller edge guy, I mean, he's shown that his just ability to get to the quarterback translates to the NFL level. And I think you keep find a way to keep him on the 53. I'm just not sure that you're able to get him on the practice squad if you cut him. I think in a lot of situations, you know, you are able to get the guys you want on the practice squad, but I think with pass rushers being such a premium and him showing what he could do, you just have to find a way to keep him at all costs, and depth is extremely important, especially with what we know with what the Titans have had to deal with injuries. I think he should be on the team for sure.
And Ben, I think another hot topic of conversation right now is obviously the kicker. And so Michael Badgley comes in after we see the 2 other guys, Trey Wolf and Caleb Shudak, get cut from the roster earlier this week. And look, if you ask me, I feel like the question is still up in the air of who's going to be the starter. So in your eyes, one, how did you see Michael perform last night? What did you think about that? But also, two, would you maybe see Vrabel and Carthon decide to go sign a veteran here at some point to finish out this season?
I mean, I think with the kicker position, it's kind of a day-by-day thing, I feel like. Like, it can they're going to most certainly be looking at the wire and see who's available after the cuts. I think for now, maybe Badgley is safe. I know he did miss, what was it, like a 38-yarder or something, but he did make his other kicks. But, yeah, I just don't think he's been consistent enough in, like, his short time to really feel good about him in the long term. And so I think they're going to continually keep their eyes on that. But something I said on a previous show a couple days ago is I think the Titans are at the point where they need to strongly consider drafting a kicker in 2024. I mean, this is several years now where there's been a lot of uncertainty at that spot. And if you could maybe just take one in the fifth to seventh round that you know can be there for you for like 10 years, I think you have to really look at that at this point because, I mean, it's just been several years, as long as I've been on the beat since 2021, and I know before that they had issues too. So, I think long term, that's something they really need to consider is just drafting a guy. Like, looking at what the Bengals have done with Evan McPherson and how good he is for them. And so I think that's something for them to look at. But in terms of for right now, I don't think Badgley's job is very secure. I think maybe he did enough to kind of get by for now, but yeah, I think if there's a better, veteran kicker that comes available, I don't think the Titans would hesitate to bring him in.
Appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, Ben. As we go throughout the season, man, we're definitely going to have you on because I think this division overall with with the rookie quarterbacks and everything and the parity going on, we'll definitely have to have your insight on again. So appreciate you taking the time again this morning.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. That was Ben Arthur, Fox Sports AFC South reporter. You can head over to foxsports.com and check out his articles. He's always posting stuff about the Tennessee Titans and teams that are in the AFC South. So coming up next, we teased it a little bit earlier. We are going to get into my 53-man roster projections. I want to get Nick and Connor's opinions on these. So coming up next, we will dive into who I think will make the cut coming up on Tuesday. Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser, you're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter. Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball today at 5.05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, and they finish their road series against the Stripers tomorrow at 12.05. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans and Family Leisure. So, we have been teasing it all break long, and I'm so ready to get into this. I am going to give my official 53-man roster. Are we ready to go?
Yes. Please, all right. Enlighten us with your 53-man GM. Well, here we go. Go ahead, Junie. You are in the big chair. So please enlighten me on who we're going to see week one. So I would love anyone's reaction as well,
yeah.
But go for it.
615-737-1025, react to my official 53-man roster. All right, at quarterback, no surprise here, three of them. Tannehill, Willis, Levis, they're all going to make the team.
Okay.
No shadow of a doubt, they just drafted Levis. Malik performed well enough, obviously, to make the team, so they're going to keep three. Running back, I have them only keeping three, and that's going to be Henry, Spears, and Julius Chestnut. I have been blown away by Julius Chestnut. He can play special teams, and the way that he has ran the ball, I thought he's looked great.
No
right.
Haskins?
No Haskins.
Ooh.
Nope.
Lots of problems there.
He's been banged up in his preseason against the Bears. The only time that he actually got, he didn't look good. He looked worse than everybody else on the field. I think that they're trying to find a reason to move off of him, and I think that they will. So I think that they only go with three. So at wide receiver, this one might be a little bit controversial, but it's how I feel. So the first five are not going to be any surprise. Hopkins, Burks, Phillips, Moore, Westbrook Akina, and Kyaris Jackson. I am going with Kyaris Jackson. I like what he can do as a punt returner. I like what I've seen. He didn't play in the Minnesota game, but he looked really good in Chicago with his catches. And he was part of the play of the game yesterday. He made a great catch on the sideline in the end zone for a touchdown. To wrap up, and I just think with his versatility, with Kyle Phillips out, I think with his speed, I think he's the most talented guy and showed me enough that I believe that he should be a part of it.
Okay.
Will he make it? I don't know, but
gotcha.
I think that he should.
So you have Hopkins, Burks, NWI, Moore, and Jackson.
Yes.
Okay.
At tight end, Chig Okonkwo, Josh Wiley, Trayvon Wesco, and Thomas Odukoya. I love the way
OJ.
No, OJ's the tackle.
OJ's the tackle.
Odukoya is the one that played over in Europe, and he's the international player. So
yes, the implant,
I love the
yes.
way this guy blocks. I think, you know, since this team doesn't have a fullback, they're going to go with an extra tight end, and I feel like with his blocking capability, he has to make the team.
Okay.
Offensive line, really no surprises on here either. I had eight locked down, and then I kind of had to go around because, you know, I wasn't paying much attention to some of the deeper offensive line on the depth chart, so I had to find one extra one. So the extra one's going to be Justin Murray, but the other ones are going to be, you know, who everybody else expects.
Okay.
Dillard, Skoronski, Brewer, Brunskill, Hubbard, who are going to be the starters. Nicholas Petit-Frere is not going to count against the 53 because he's suspended, so that's why he won't be on here. But Corey Levin, Jordan Roos, and Jalen Duncan, along with Justin Murray, are going to be the depth pieces on the offensive line. And that's going to be nine total offensive linemen there. Don't be surprised if they go out and get somebody that might get cut to add, to beef this up just a little bit.
All right.
So that is the offense.
I like it.
All right. Now, on defense, we're going to start with the defensive line. Jeff Simmons, Nico Autry, Tierre Tarts round out your starters. And then the backups, I'm going to have three more guys, maybe one extra than what most people have. Jaden Peavy, Naquan Jones, and Kyle Pecco. Naquan Jones, really, he's been kind of banged up a little bit here in the preseason, but based off of what he did last year, they know what he is when he's healthy, and he's a good depth piece. I love what Peavy and Pecco have done in the preseason. They have been the guys consistently getting into the backfield and disrupting, especially as pass rushers in the preseason.
So you have five guys on the line that you'd like to keep?
Six. Six guys on the defensive line. It's one extra than what most
people have got.
Because, you know, even though the Titans run a 3-4, and in that base defense they have three down linemen, most people have them keeping five just because in the nickel package you take out that nose tackle. But I don't know. I think that six guys deserve this. And the more depth that you have at the D-line with the injuries that we've seen in the past, the better. You know, Autry and Simmons have some injury issues. Autry's getting a little bit older. I would rather have that extra guy, especially since they've been showing up in the preseason.
For sure.
All right, let's move over to outside linebacker. Harold Landry, Arden Key to round out your starters, Rashad Weaver. Everybody has these three guys on the roster. But the big question is, will Caleb Murphy make it? And to me, absolutely, this guy has to make it. He had 25 and a half sacks at Ferris State Division II last year. He's had a sack in just about every single preseason game. I think the kid has too much talent to pass up on. Somebody else is going to pick him up. It should be you. Hold on to him. I think he has a lot of potential. He can develop more in the run game. That's something that I've noticed on my film watching time. But other than that, as a pass rusher, he's just too talented to let him go.
Okay, so you like four of those guys then.
Four of them. A lot of people only have three, but I like four. Edge rusher to me is just too important of a position to only go with three. Harold Landry's coming off the ACL surgery. I need to have a little extra depth there just in case he is slowed down just a little bit until he can get back to 100%.
I like it.
Now, inside linebacker. Azeez Al-Shaair, Jack Gibbons are going to round out your starters. Chance Campbell and Luke Gifford are going to be your primary special teamers and your depth pieces. I like what Chance Campbell has done as that third, maybe rotational piece, getting in and out of there on some certain packages. So I have them there. So Monty Rice, I don't think he's going to make the team.
Okay.
Dealing with injuries, he's dealt with injuries in the past. It's been a consistent thing. He's a third-round pick that's really never lived up to that. So I think he's going to get cut, and they're only going to stick with four guys.
That's something that Paul Kaharski called a long time ago at the beginning of the preseason. He did not feel like Monty Rice would make this team.
I've been saying it, too. He hasn't shown me anything. It's just everybody's been giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I don't like it. So
okay.
Moving on to safety, Kevin Byard and Monty Hooker are going to be your two starters. Mike Brown, Shaheem Carter, and Josh Thompson are going to round out. I think these guys all bring a little bit of a special teams element, and I think that that's primarily why they're going to come on.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I really like what I saw from Josh Thompson in the preseason. I thought he was kind of flying around the ball, making some big hits as well. So I like what we're going on there. Cornerback, I got six guys. Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary, and Sean Murphy Bunting are going to round out your starting three, if you count the slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elijah Molden, who can play in and out of that safety position. I think he'll be above on safety. Like I said, some of those depth pieces at safety are going to primarily be playing special teams. So Elijah Molden's that guy that you can throw into the slot, a guy that you can put back at safety. So he's definitely going to make the team. In the final two corners that will make the team is Trey Avery and Eric Gard.
No Caleb Farley. Wow.
But I think Caleb Farley, since he's on the injury list, I don't think that that would count against the 53-man either, since he's on the he can't participate. But either way, he hasn't been around, so, I mean, he can't make the team if he hadn't been around. And, you know, prayers to everything that he has going on in his personal life. We're obviously thinking about him, and we brought that up earlier in the week with everything that he has going on. So Eric Gar, the way that he's been playing special teams, he is very undersized. But I love the way he's fearless and flies to the ball. So I think he's going to be the final corner to make the team. So coming up on special teams, kicker, I just put who knows. It could be anybody. I don't think it's going to be Michael Badgley. Obviously, right now he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. But to me, it really could be anybody that's out there on the open market. Punter Ryan Stonehouse, long snapper Morgan Cox. And that is my final 53-man roster when the cuts will be made on Tuesday. Fellas, our thoughts. Any surprises? Anything where you think that you just didn't like it?
I don't think it's surprising that you've left off Caleb Farley, obviously, for what's going on. No Monty Rice, I don't think, is an unpopular decision whatsoever. You do give yourself a lot of depth. I think a lot of this decision-making is based on what we've seen in injuries the last 2 years a little bit, too.
Yes.
That's what I have in mind for myself, too. And I tend to agree with what you've put out here for sure. And for me, I think Vrabel would be happy with how this is set up for him, too. But at the same breath, I have to say I'm concerned until I can't be anymore, because I want to see the team stay healthy. I want to see the team be able to make the most of their opportunity as a cohesive group. And in order to be healthy, you need to feel that way as a team. And so I feel like the way you've laid it out, it's one of many ways I feel like they could maintain that in 2023. So good job, Junie.
So here are the guys that barely just missed the cut.
Yes.
These are hard cuts. Some of these guys showed some things. Some of these guys have been banged up and haven't been able to show anything. So outside of the guys that, have been injured throughout the entire preseason that haven't gotten any time, these are the guys that barely just missed out. Monty Rice, Hassan Haskins, Colton Dowell, which kills me. I really want him to make the team, but he had a good night last night, but it just wasn't enough. I hope they bring him in on the practice squad. I really do, because I think he probably will.
I think he's in.
You think he's in?
He has a lot to prove. He's a late round pick, so I feel he will have a little bit of leeway, especially after the game he played last night.
If he's on the practice squad, that's fine with me.
I would like to see him on the practice squad this year and then have the opportunity to really duke it out in camp as he develops a little bit more. He's right there for me. He's right there. I want him bad. I love the kid, but I think he's just right there on the cutting board. Other players that barely missed out, Mason Kinsey, Treshawn Harrison, Reggie Roberson, which, man, that's a disappointment after what he was doing in practice. He was looking good, but it just didn't translate to the game. And then Sam Okwuanu, he was part of the team a little bit last year, but I think just because of what Caleb Murphy has done, I think that he's going to be on the out, and some other D lineman three techniques, because he's kind of a guy that can play the edge rusher position, can play as a three technique on the D line. I just think he barely misses the cut as well. So hopefully they can bring a bunch of these guys back on the practice squad just in case this team does deal with injury, because these guys would be good depth pieces, and a lot of these players have had some playing experience and have had to come up.
Yes, so well done. I think as a show, we can somewhat agree that this was a good 53-man roster enough to throw out there. So well done from your perspective, GM Riddle. And we'll have to see whatever else comes of these cuts here in the next few days. So I'm excited to see what they do look like. They have to have it done by Tuesday, so we'll see what happens. And maybe kicker's answered by the time that we talk about the Titans next weekend, Junie.
Absolutely. So coming up next, college football is back today, and we got a game right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Vanderbilt opens up their home opener against Hawaii. We are going to break down that game, give our game picks, and maybe some questions and what we think of the Vanderbilt season. We're going to wrap things up here on Riddle the Reporter here next on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. College football is back, week zero. They don't have the sexiest games going on, but I would say one of the best games today for sure is right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Hawaii has come into town to take on the Vanderbilt Commodores, and Vanderbilt is a heavy favorite in today's game. 17.5-point favorites according to Superbook Sports. We're going to get into this game. We're going to talk a little bit of Vandy football, because honestly, I am super interested to see how Vandy is this year. AJ Swan, was getting in and out of the lineup with Mike Wright last year. You know, two different quarterbacks. You know, Mike Wright being the mobile quarterback, and A.J. Swan being the better pocket passer. But now that he's in his sophomore year, and he's coming in as the guy and has had the full summer camp going into the season, I have high expectations for this team and Clark Lea as he's going into year three.
Yeah, and we talked about Vanderbilt a lot last week. But in terms of their schedule, we've broken that down. I think for today, the best thing for them is, look, you're playing Hawaii. You were in Hawaii last year, which was a marvelous trip for them to take during that time of year. And on a serious note, which is really cool for Vanderbilt, they're also raising money tonight for Hawaii. So
it's a great cause.
Very classy move by them to do that, and good on Vanderbilt's part. I'm sure that other teams will do that when Hawaii has games and other places. So good on Vanderbilt's part, but it's game day, and I really would like to see when they get comfortable in this game, because I think that they will. When they eventually have a couple of touchdown lead, I feel like we're going to see some younger faces on this Vanderbilt squad get some good playing time. And I know for me personally, I would like to see A.J. Swan dictate the pace of the game early. I want to see him come out, not necessarily swinging after big, deep passes, but I want to see him make smart plays. And I feel like this is a good startup game for Vanderbilt. It's kind of like that tune-up game, you know, like it's something for them to kind of get used to, get back in that pace of the rhythm. It's week zero. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere. And most importantly, too, it's Clark Lea's third time going out on the field for a season. So what is his approach going to be? He has very big goals as the coach, as he should. But also, I think in the back of his mind, he has to think, how does my foundation look after training camp? But also, how does it look after today's game? It's going to be a stepping stone for them in the right place, Juni.
So for me, I look at Vanderbilt's schedule here, and I would say the first seven games, they should be right there in it.
Yeah.
And according to Vegas, I mean, this team's over-under on win total is 3.5, and I'm smashing
They're gonna
that
smash
over.
The over.
I mean, they could get that in their first four games because I don't think Wake Forest is nearly as talented as they were last year. Their quarterback transferred on, I believe he went to Notre Dame. But regardless of that fact, I mean, the first seven games are winnable. I think Kentucky will be probably the toughest game on that schedule. But Missouri and Florida, mm-hmm. I think, are two of the bottom teams in the East, and Vanderbilt should be right there with them. A guy I've been hearing a ton about, and I spoke about this with Big Joe yesterday when we were filling in for Chase, was, you know, this wide receiver, Will Shepard. Everybody's been talking about this kid and about how he can take his talents to the NFL mm-hmm. if he kind of puts it all together. So if A.J. Swan can take his game to the next level, being the guy for the full season, not a true freshman anymore, I'm really interested to see, because I think this Vanderbilt team under Clark Lea is going in the right direction, and I think that they're poised for a big win tonight. I'm taking them big tonight. But for me, if I had to give a quick record prediction on them, I think they're going to go 6-6 or 7-5.
And I can see that.
They're going to crack in to a bowl this year. I think there's going to be postseason play for Vanderbilt. I think they just find a way to get there. And this is going to be kind of something, a stepping stone that Clark Lea can use to go forward to really resurrect this program.
I think so, too. And I like that you bring up Will Shepard. I think he's going to be a pivotal asset to their offense this year. And I want to take a look, too, also at what they have at running back, because for me last year they didn't really have someone that was crazy good. And I know that Patrick Smith, he's that junior back that's there. He's got some good experience. He probably has the best experience out of everyone so far. But Dylan Betts, Pauly's also back there as well. I think what they'll do against Hawaii, Juni, one's more of a third down back than the other, even in terms of size too, because Dylan is 235, he's listed as 234. And, you know, I think for me, Patrick Smith, he's going to be that basic back that you've got that can break free for the home run plays. But at the same time, too, I'm interested to see if they do utilize those dual back, you know, plays for them, if they're going to have a good offensive line for that, too. Because at times, when you build all the SEC teams, in my opinion, all these teams, they have a good front. They have a good defensive front and a good offensive front. So how much improved is Vanderbilt? Because realistically, that's the biggest challenge if you're Vanderbilt too, is yeah, you have the talent around these guys, but also how can you protect your assets, but also how can you be aggressive on the other side of the ball too? So for me, I don't want to see them be patient with Vanderbilt or be patient with this Hawaii team. I want to see them be as aggressive as possible early.
I do too. And I think something that has been helping this team is going out and get local talent. Being here in Middle Tennessee, I mean, this is one of the hot spots for high school football. A lot of talent all over the mid-state. And they've been picking up some guys. And a guy that I really want to see tonight is London Humphreys. I covered him when CPA played Brentwood Academy last year. And I texted Willie Donick during the show yesterday. I was like, in that game, CPA threw out three different quarterbacks throughout, trying to find who was going to be, you know, the best fit for the team because it was still early in the season. And no matter which quarterback was in, London Humphreys just dominated that game. And even though they lost because, you know, Brentwood Academy had a really good team, I really want to see what this kid can do as a true freshman because I think he's going to get some significant playing time. Mm-hmm. But let's get into our picks really quickly here.
Yeah.
Again, Vanderbilt is going to be 17.5 point favorites going up against Hawaii, and the over-under is 55.5 points. I am going Vanderbilt on the spread. I think that they win by at least 24 points tonight. I think they're going to blow the doors open. I think they're better than last year. So I think that they're going to use this game to really get AJ Swan's confidence up. And I think they're going to put up at least 40 points. And Hawaii is going to score just enough to get them over that 55.5. So give me the over and give me Vanderbilt on the spread.
I agree too. I like the spread for this game as well. It's at 6:30 tonight. You can also hear here on 102.5 The Game. By the way, we are your flagship for Vanderbilt football this year, so please tune in starting at 5 o'clock tonight
for the pregame. Yes,
kickoff is at 6:30. I'm gonna take Vanderbilt obviously in this matchup. I think it's very clear cut and dry being a 17.5 point favorite. I'm gonna go over as well. I did think about the under a little bit, and what's interesting to me is that Hawaii's over and under on points by itself is 19. So
interesting.
I want to see how explosive they can attempt to be and how Vanderbilt can combat that. But Connor, where do you go?
I'm actually going to take the under. I don't think Hawaii's offense is all too special. I don't think they're going to score much. I do want to see Vanderbilt kind of dominate on the offensive side of the ball. I want to see AJ Swan take some strides. I want to see Will Shepard improve. And another guy I want to see is Jaden McGowan. And he came in as a true freshman last year, and I want to see some improvement. He made, I think, third team All-SEC last year as a kick returner. But he is also a wide receiver, and I think he could really be the wide receiver, too, that they need here.
Yeah, I like it.
So we're all going on the Commodores again. Kickoff is at 6:30. You can hear that right here on 102.5 and 106.3 of The Game. Pre-game is at 5 o'clock, so make sure to tune in to that. We are the home of Vanderbilt football, and you can tune in for the coverage all season long. Very, very excited to see where this team and this program goes. But that is all the time that we have on this Saturday. Thank you for tuning in to Riddle and the Reporter, Junior Riddle, Nick Keyser, Connor New. We are out. Have a good weekend.